We have a few minutes, but that's okay. I talk fast, so if you can listen fast, I'll talk fast and we'll get done. I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of Habakkuk. It's near the end of the Old Testament. If you go to Matthew and you go backwards five books, you will find the book of Habakkuk. And I am not saying that to insult your intelligence. I just want to make sure that the ladies on the front row can find it. They're in Bible college, but I'm not sure if we've gotten that far yet. So Habakkuk. And chapter number 3 is where we'll look this morning. I could talk all day about Habakkuk. I have the privilege at Golden State to teach the section on the minor prophets. And this book might just be my favorite of the minor prophets. I think it's because I think I can almost relate a little bit to Habakkuk in the period of time that he was in. He was witnessing wickedness in his nation. And Habakkuk in chapter 1, his question is, God, why don't you judge your people? It seemed as if God's people were living wickedly and they were getting away with it. Well, then God answers Habakkuk. And how many of you know sometimes God answers your prayer, but it's not exactly what you were hoping it would be? And so God answers Habakkuk and he says, Habakkuk, I am judging my people. He said, right now I am preparing the Chaldeans to the north, and they're going to come and they're going to punish Judah. And of course, we know the nation of Judah went into Babylonian captivity for 70 years. Well, then Habakkuk starts to backpedal a little bit and say, well, you know, Lord, I was thinking maybe like a little slap on the hand, maybe something a little bit lighter, but this is serious. And then Habakkuk says, God, why would you use wicked people like the Chaldeans to punish a backslidden people like Judah? And then you want to know what God answers to that? Nothing. And sometimes God doesn't answer our questions. You ever been there? And it just seems like heaven is silent, and you pray and pray and pray. And it's during those times you learn to trust God. It's during those times you learn to wait on Him. It's during those times that you realize that Jesus never fails. And no matter what, you can still trust Him. We get to Habakkuk 3. Habakkuk knows that his nation is backslidden. He knows that judgment is coming. But in chapter 3, Habakkuk blows you out of the water. It's like you don't expect this, because we get to chapter 3, verse 1, and Habakkuk begins to pray, and this prayer was also a song. But it says in verse 1, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigionoth. Verse 2, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Somehow, here's what blows me out of the water. Somehow Habakkuk was able to realize the seriousness of the situation. He saw that his nation was in trouble. He knew they were backslidden. He knew they were going to be judged. But he somehow maintained the proper perspective. And he just went to his knees and started praying. And his prayer was not, oh, what are we going to do? His prayer was, Lord, would you not please revive thy work? And in wrath, would you please remember mercy? I believe that's what we need in the United States of America. We're going to experience God's wrath. I believe that. I believe we already are experiencing God's judgment. But in the midst of judgment, wouldn't it be good to pray for mercy and say, God, would you please remember mercy? Then, in verses 3 to verse number 16, Habakkuk takes those verses and he starts to praise God. Now, again, he just kind of shifts gears on us and kind of keeps us hanging here. But he begins to praise God. And you know, even when we know the situation is not good, we can still praise God. Because He's still God. Because He's still sovereign. Because He's still just. Because He's still right. Because God is still love. Because God is still concerned with our affairs. Verse number 3. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens. The earth was full of His praise. He goes on, verse number 6. He stood and measured the earth. That's a pretty big God when He can measure the earth. You know, I picture, you know, if I'm measuring this pulpit with a tape measure, you know, that means I'm over the tape. That means I'm over the pulpit. That means I'm bigger than the pulpit is. And God's measuring the earth. Verse number 6, and beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. Then we get down to verse number 18. verses 1 and 2, Habakkuk is praying for healing and grace. Verses 3 to 16, Habakkuk is praising a holy God. But then in verses 18 and 19, we find that Habakkuk is pressing for higher ground. Now, I love this about Habakkuk. The man was not going to live a defeated, depressed, discouraged life. Habakkuk was still pressing for higher ground. Notice what it says in verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Habakkuk, praying for healing and grace. That'd be a good thing for us to do today. Lord, would you please give us healing? Would you please show us grace? Then Habakkuk is praising a holy God. You know, you can praise God at home, and you ought to praise God at home. But that's one of the great things about church. We come together, we set aside the cares of this world, the problems, the burdens. We take our eyes off of the problems, and we put our eyes upon Him. And you know, when you come to church, it ought to be a time of praising God. It ought to be a time of exalting and magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ. But then Habakkuk, verses 18 and 19, he's pressing for higher ground. I love that song in the hymn book, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to have a word of prayer. I'm going to give you one more thought here from this chapter and we'll be done. But this chapter right here has helped me. This chapter is so powerful. It's so rich. But I want to draw your attention to one point, one thought in this chapter that has completely, and I'm not exaggerating. I know I'm preaching, but I'm not exaggerating here. This one thought has revolutionized my life. This is one thought that's tucked away in Habakkuk. We find it in another book of the Bible. But one thought that can completely revolutionize your life at home. It'll revolutionize your life at church. It'll revolutionize your life on the job, in your ministry, with your family. One thought this morning, and we'll pray and I'll share that thought with you. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the privilege of being in your house. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us now to put aside the cares of this life and what we're doing this afternoon or what's on the agenda for tomorrow. And Lord, I pray that we'd focus on your word. Thank you for the great singing we've already heard. And Lord, those powerful songs, Lord, that stirred our hearts, that prepared our hearts for the preaching. I thank you for this dear pastor. I thank you for the youth pastor and the young people who had this teen revival this week. And thank you for the work you did in their lives. But Lord, we pray in these next few moments that you'd speak to us. Help us not to miss this truth. In Jesus' name, amen. In Habakkuk chapter 3, we find a word in verse number 3. We find it in verse 9. And we find it in verse 13. It almost is a little bit out of place when you read Habakkuk. In verse 3, we find the word Selah. In verse 9, the word Selah. In verse 13, the word Selah. Now, for me, when I was reading this, I just thought, wait a second here. That word you find in the Psalms, I really didn't know you found it anywhere else. But this word is found 3 times in Habakkuk 3. It's found 71 times in the book of Psalms. That's the only place you'll find this word as it and its meaning as it is here. Only place you'll find it in the Bible. And this word Selah, I always thought growing up when I'd read the Psalms or memorize the Psalms, I always just thought it was a filler word. I should have known better. I should have known that God had a purpose and God had a plan and there's a reason. But I began to study this word. Not my dad, my brother Jared's here. Our dad preached a message on this all probably 15 years ago when I was just getting ready to go into college. Maybe I was freshman year of college. And he preached on part of this word. And then I began to study it. And I found this word, Selah, has 2 definitions. I'm going to share them with you in the next about 12 minutes. The word Selah is a musical term. That's why it's found in this chapter, because this is a song. It's also found in the Psalms. It's a musical term that means, number one, it means to rest. Now, these ladies are musical, and some of you, I know Brother Leonard does the choir, I know Brother Savini does the music, but musical people could explain this better. But in music, you have notes where you sing, and then you have rest. And when you get to that rest, you don't sing. And you may say, but I want to sing. Well, you can't sing because there's a rest there. You got to stop. And this word Selah, it means to rest. It means to pause. It means to ponder. It means to meditate. And how many times do we sing the songs of Zion and we sing through them and 10 seconds later we don't remember what we sung? We don't even remember what the words were. We missed it. And you know, in our singing, I think we ought to pause sometimes and just think about the words. Think about how good God is. Think about the cross. Think about God's love. Think about heaven. We ought to pause, slow down a little bit, because we live in such a busy, busy generation. It's out of control. And our cell phones and our computers. And it just seems like everything is hurry, 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 hurry. And we don't take time. I want to say in the Christian life, you've got to take time to slow down, to pause. Psalm 46:10, the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. You know, if you're going to walk with God, you can't be in a hurry, because he's not in a hurry. And sometimes we want God to catch up to us, but God's saying, hey, if you want to walk with me, I'd love for you to walk with me. Draw nigh unto God, he'll draw nigh unto you. But sometimes we're just too busy. We're in too much of a hurry. This word Selah, my challenge this morning is in our lives to pause. I don't mean to take a break from church. I'm not talking about taking a vacation from reading your Bible. I'm talking about keep serving God. Keep reading your Bible. Keep walking with God. Keep doing what you know you should do. But sometime in your busy schedule, maybe this afternoon, maybe tonight before you go to bed, maybe tomorrow morning, just slow down a little bit. Just take some time. Maybe reevaluate some priorities. I hope you walk with God. I hope you read your Bible every day. I hope you pray every day. But how many of you know sometimes we can just go through the motions with that? Ever been there? I have. But this word Selah means to pause, means to slow down. When was the last time that you stopped and you thought about the day you got saved? What an incredible day that was for me. I tell you what, we sometimes get over our salvation. Sometimes it's the new Christians that come in with the most joy and the most excitement because they haven't gotten over it yet. But some of us, if we're not careful, we've lost the wonder of it all. When was the last time you stopped and just thanked God and thought about the fact that Jesus was willing to die on the old rugged cross to pay for your sins and to pay for mine? Hey, I tell you what, you start thinking about Calvary a little bit more and you start getting close to the cross, I promise you, you'll have your priorities in order. I promise you, you'll be okay in your Christian life if you'll stay close to the cross. When was the last time you just stopped and thanked God for the family that he's given you? The wife, the husband, the children, the parents, the relatives. When was the last time you stopped and thanked God for your church? I'm telling you, Pastor, there are so many churches across this country right now that would love to have what you have here. There are so many churches across America that would love to have the pastor that you have here. But if we're not careful, we won't take time to stop and be thankful for what God has given us. I know that our nation has some major problems, no doubt about it. But I'm so thankful to live in the United States of America. I'm proud to be an American. I'm thankful for our military. I'm thankful that we have men and women who have given their lives and continue to give their lives so that you and I can be here today. But if we're not careful, we're so busy and all we focus on is the negative. But this word Selah, whenever you see that, or maybe write it on a 3x5 card or put it on the refrigerator or somewhere, but remember, we got to slow down. We've got to rest. We've got to pause. We have to stop and think about how good God's been. That's what this word Selah means. It means to rest. In sports, and I love sports, I'm excited about March Madness. I don't know if that matters to you or not. To me, I enjoy trying to follow a little bit. My brother-in-law, Brother Tim Treber, he says it's not March Madness, it's marriage madness, because I think during the month of March, he and his wife maybe don't spend as much time. I don't know, but March Madness. But you know, in sports, even the coaches of the best teams, they know at times you have to slow down. They'll call a timeout. And it can be in a very crucial spot in the game. They'll call a timeout just to cause the players to slow down, to stop and to think about what's really important. In the Christian life, maybe we need a timeout. Maybe we need to take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. If we don't take the time, we'll never, ever be holy. The word Selah, it means to pause. It means to meditate. It means to ponder. But the word Selah has a second definition. I'll share this and I'll be done. And I had always heard the part about pausing and, you know, how it means to rest. But you know, the Christian life is not just about the rest, although that's important. This word Selah has a secondary meaning in the musical term. It means not only to rest, but then it means to modulate, to take it up a step. Now again, I'm not musical, but the best way I've ever seen this illustrated, we have at our church a man by the name of Alvin Martinez. He's an amazing singer, amazing soloist. He's a Filipino gentleman. He's one of our assistant pastors, but that man can sing like nobody you've ever heard. He's incredible. And he got up to sing, Pastor, it was several years ago. It was right before Thanksgiving, Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. And Pastor Treber called on him to sing, and I think he was supposed to have been ready, but he wasn't. I don't know if he forgot. I don't know if it caught him off. I don't know what happened. But he about had the big one on the platform. I mean, he about fell over with a heart attack. And so he runs over to the piano, and Brother Webster, our piano player, and he kind of gets with him real quick and kind of, you know, a little scurry in here. And then he comes back over to the pulpit, and Brother Webster plays the intro, and he starts to sing, "Thanks to Calvary. I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different." Oh, it was good stuff. And he's a great singer. And that piano player, Brother Webster, is a great piano player. But then, at the end of that first verse, he's looking over at Brother Webster, and he's doing this in the middle of the song. I mean, the man has no dignity. You know, in the middle of the song, he's telling him, "Good job, buddy. Congratulations. You're awesome," you know. But that's not what he was telling him. He was giving him the signal. He said, "Hey, I like this key. It's all right. It's not bad, but we need to take this thing up a step." And if you've ever heard in a choir special or maybe a quartet or soloist, and they do a key change, it's something about it, although it's the same song, the same singer, the same piano player, in the same congregation, it's something about that key change. It brings a new life. It brings a new energy. It brings a new excitement. It brings a new perspective on the same song. And he did that, Pastor Zawadzki. He did that key change, thumbs up, let's do it. And I'm telling you, for me anyway, I don't know if anybody else did, but for me, I about came unglued. It was so powerful, but all he did, he just was doing the same thing, but he took it up a step. And you know, in our Christian lives, after you rest and after you ponder and meditate on some things, it's time to get back in the game. It's time to get back in the battle. But it's time to take it up a step. It's time to maybe do just a little bit more in your service for Christ. It's time to maybe spend a little bit more time in God's Word. Maybe just a few extra minutes in prayer. Linger a little longer when you kneel to pray. Don't be in such a hurry to go your way. Listen, He has something to say. Maybe we need to take it up a step in our prayer life. There's a lot of areas you can apply it to. But I know for me, this word Selah has helped me so much. I don't want to get too busy that I lose my focus. I want to take time to get that all situated and get that in proper perspective. But then once you know what you're supposed to do, once you know what God wants you to do, once you know that, hey, here is what God has for my life, it's time to throw yourself into it, and it's time to take it up a step. It's time to take it to the next level. Wouldn't it be great in our services if there was just a little bit more excitement? Wouldn't it be great in our services if we were just a little bit more friendly? And by the way, everybody's been friendly. Everybody's been great. But wouldn't it be awesome if just we take it up a step, maybe in our giving, in our soul winning? Wouldn't it be great if we took it up a step in our family time? What about at the workplace? Wouldn't it be great if we just took it up a notch? This word, Selah, whenever you see that word, I want you to remember, it means to pause. But then after you pause and rest and regroup, it's time to take it up a step. Lord, I pray.